Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Yayati Achieves Liberation, Text Number 26. Shrutva Gatam Devayani Mene Prastobam Atmanaha Sri Pumso Sneha Vaiklavayat Parihasam Ivevritam Shrutva, hearing. Gatam, the narration. Devayani, Queen Devayani, the wife of Maharaj Yayati. Mene, understood. Prashtobam, Atmanaha, when instructed for her self-realization. Sripumso, between the husband and wife. Sneha Vaiklavat, from an exchange of love and affection. Parihasam, a funny joke or story. Eva, like. Iritam, spoken by Maharaj Yayati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Devayani heard Maharaj Yayati's story of the he-goat and she-goat, he understood that this story, which was presented as if a funny joke for entertainment between husband and wife, was intended to awaken her to her constitutional position. Purport. When one actually awakens from material life, one understands his real position as an eternal servant of Krishna. This is called liberation. Muktir advanyata rupam srupena vyavastiti. The Bhagavatam 2.10.6. Under the influence of Maya, everyone living in this material world thinks that he is the master of everything. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham itim manyate. One thinks that there is no God or controller and that one is independent and can do anything. This is the material condition. And when one awakens from this ignorance, he is called liberated. Maharaj Yayati had delivered Devayani from the well, and finally, as a dutiful husband, he instructed her with the story about the he-goat and she-goat, and thus delivered her from the misconception of material happiness. Devayani was quite confident to understand her liberated husband, and therefore she decided to follow him as his faithful wife. Shrutva gatam Devayani mene prastabam atmanaha Sri Pumso Sneha Vaiklavliyat Parihasam Ivevritam. When Devayani heard Maharaj Yayati's story of the he-goat and she-goat, she understood that this story, which was presented as if a funny joke for entertainment between husband and wife, was intended to awaken her to her constitutional position. To wake up from material life, to awaken oneself to spiritual life, one has to follow the shastra. One has to regulate one's life in such a way as that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, Krishna explains that there are two kinds of people in this world. Dvau imau purusho loke, daivam asram evacha, daiva vishvasak prota, asram partha me shinu. Some are called the asuras, and some are called the suras. Now the asuras are not people necessarily who have two horns and a tail. that's not how you tell a sura. And that if you don't have two horns and a tail, then you must be a demigod. Now Krishna says, pravitim cha nivritim cha jana na vidur asura nesocham na pichachara nesatim teshu vidite. Those who don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Of course, people are convinced nowadays that what they're supposed to do is gratify their senses. In some way or another. See something beautiful that's attractive. Taste something that's satisfying, that's delicious. Smell something which is stimulating, etc., etc. Go to some place which will satisfy one's senses. So, the whole idea is to utilize the active organs and the knowledge-acquiring organs in order to gratify the senses. I think that's what's to be done. And what's not to be done is to do anything that will restrain the senses from their objects. Now, they say that will result in frustration. Pravitim jana na vidura asram. They don't know what's to be done, what's not to know. The people, jana. Nesocham. Therefore, they're not clean, either physically or consciously. Because lust, Krishna says by definition, is never satisfying, which burns like fire. It also covers our consciousness, so we don't see things properly. To be in love doesn't mean that we've actually become enlightened. It means we become, so a material love at least, means we become covered and we see things in illusion. Nisocham na pichacharo. Apichacharo. What they think is to be done is not to be done. They don't know who to follow and who not to follow. Nisatyam teshu vidyate. The whole life is untruthful because they're not their body. They're not the lord of the material nature. They're not even the controller. Everything is being enacted by the modes of material nature. And the soul is only desiring. But because it's dovetailing its desires with wrong desires, desires that will entangle one in the material nature, in one of the modes of nature, because better to be entangled by goodness, because at least if one is entangled by goodness, one can understand he's entangled. And therefore there's some hope of getting out of the entanglement in goodness, because one realizes that this is not real true happiness, and that I'm entangled. When Prabhupada is asked, what is the happiness in the mode of goodness? Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, tatra sadvena maladva prakashikam anavayam sukha sangena bandhanti jnana sangena chagnaga. That the mode of goodness is born of sattvam, tatra sadve nimaladva, is purer than the others. Tatra sadve nimaladva prakashayam, and therefore there's prakasha, there's illumination. But what is that illumination? The illumination is that material happiness is not happiness. If I think now I've gotten knowledge of how to enjoy my senses, I must be in goodness. No, one is in passion at the best. Prakashikam anamayam, and one is sinful, anamalam, one is not attracted to sinful activities. Sukha sangena bhananti, what is that? Sukha, sukha, the happiness is the lack of misery, that's all. There's no real happiness in the material world, even in the mode of goodness, but this is the absence of misery, which can be taken as a kind of happiness. So Prabhupada was asked, what is the happiness in the mode of goodness? And Prabhupada said, if you think you're happy in the mode of goodness, you're in ignorance. So if we think I've finally reached the platform where I'm not suffering, therefore I'm happy, we're still in ignorance. Therefore, nasocham napichatra nasatyam teshu vidite. Therefore, anyone who's thinking that they're being truthful to themselves or to others, who are in ignorance, they can't be truthful because they're in ignorance. They don't know what the truth is. How can they be truthful? If you don't know what the actual truth is, whatever you say is going to be untruthful. And what is the problem? Asatyam apratishtam te jagarahoranishvaram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanyakamahaitukyam. They say that this world is unreal. What does it mean, unreal? They realize it's always changing, always constantly changing. Everything we look at is changing. Therefore, it doesn't really. Their conclusion is, it doesn't really matter what you do here. It's going to change anyhow. Just do whatever you feel like it, whatever makes you happy for the moment, because it's all temporary. The whole thing's fluctuating. There's no such thing as life after death. After death, you just disappear like everything else disappears. So just enjoy as much as you can while before you disappear. And when after the body leaves, then you just disappear. Krishna will disappear, this world will disappear, everything will disappear. Asatyam apratishtam te. It's all temporary. There's no foundation. There's no God who's controlling everything. We're just getting the reactions for our past activities by some kind of energy called karma. But there's no person behind karma. It's just the natural way the material nature works. Asatyam jagadohor anishvaram. There's no controller. There's no person who's actually in our heart aware of what we're doing and is going to give us the results of our activities. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadohor anishvaram. Parashparam sambhutyam. And what is the highest truth in the material world? Sex life is the highest truth in the material world. That's where you get the that's where you get the feeling that you're God, and that you're either enjoying or giving enjoyment to others. So that is the pinnacle of material existence, where everything becomes you become the center of the universe for someone. And therefore you become as close to God as you can get in the material world. But what's the result with all this understanding that don't worry about karma, as Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, don't worry about karma, don't worry about pleasing these demigods, because just do your work, and if you do your work, then the demigods have to supply whatever you want, whatever you need, karma kanda, kama mamangsa philosophy. That there's no God, don't worry about God's watching after you and you're going to get the result. Just do your duty and you'll get the result. Your duty is God. So what's the result? Etam drishtim avashtavya. They've lost their vision. Anyone who thinks like that. They can't see even the most simple thing. I mean, we had a little intelligence, the littlest, tiny littlest intelligence. We see that I'm not changing, but my body's changing. Now, if we can't see that, then how much intelligence do we have? None. None whatsoever. Now, we may pride ourselves in our ability to choose desires which will help us think ourselves to be the laws of material nature. We can gain so much so-called control over the material nature, although the soul never gains any control over the material nature because he's not the controller of the material nature. He can just imagine he is. And the more he endeavors to so-called control material nature, the more he becomes illusioned by material nature. And therefore, even the simple knowledge, there's a difference between himself and the body, that becomes impossible to understand under the spell of the modes of material nature, under the spell of ignorance and passion. So one is thinking he's making progress, I'm controlling things, I'm doing this, but actually one is simply an instrument in the hands of illusion. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudhya. They've lost all their intelligence. They can't understand that they're not the body, that they're not the controllers, they're a little tiny soul, and that this big material nature is not working by their simple desire, by their will. It's working under Krishna's will. And what is the result? Nashtatmana na buddhya, pravavant yuga karmana, ugra karmana. What flourishes is ugra karma, making everything difficult. Krishna has created a perfect world, and everything we do contrary to what Krishna wants makes everything more complicated and difficult. Their pride that, for instance, they've created a system of tractors and factories, but anyone who does a little, even scientific investigation, knows that they've made it all complicated just so they control things, that's all. They have machines, they can run machines, they've made inventions where you can run a car on water. Now, water is quite available. So if you can run your car on water, what do you need petroleum for? And if you don't need petroleum and gas and all these other things, then where are people going to make money from you? Where is the big scarcity? Water is so many places. But if they had, therefore, practically every inventor who has ever made a car that can run on hydrogen or water, they've assassinated, or they bought the plans and then burnt them, or whatever they do with them. You don't cooperate, then they eliminate. Because, why? Because they want to sell their product, petroleum, and make money. Why? Because they want to think that they're controlling the world. That's all. Just the desire to control has made everything so complicated. And those with so-called better karma, they know how to make things better, more complicated than anyone else. And therefore, they become the so-called controllers. But they're all there, they're being controlled by illusion, and they're simply controlling other people who are controlled by illusion. Why? Because as soon as people are engaged in especially illicit sex, followed by meat eating and gambling and intoxication, then they lose their intelligence. And they make everything complicated. Etam drishtim avashtavnya nashnatmano nabuddhaya. Pravatnuka karmana, it flourishes. The whole world is flourishing and making everything complicated and destructive. Shaye jagatohita. Therefore, they invent horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So we may pride ourselves, all this electricity. So if this electricity was so wonderful, why don't they have electricity in Goloka Vrindavan? They think, oh, Krishna is just a backward, coward boy. If it was advanced, they have electricity. They don't realize this electricity is killing us. It's burning our brains out. But we're happy because we don't have any brains, so we don't. There's nothing to burn. So-called invention, electricity, and otherwise, people actually, their eyes used to work better because they didn't have electricity. They didn't look at these horrible lights which are beaming horrible vibrations into our minds, into our bodies, destroying our eyes, destroying our senses. And we're prideful that we've invented electricity, we invented this mass communication where nonsense can be spread everywhere in a moment. It could be utilized in Krishna's service to spread Krishna consciousness, but that's not why they use it. They use it to spread ignorance. Similarly, these were so proud that we're living in Europe. But Europe was actually founded by the Kshatriyas who fled from Parasaram because they were all rascals, so they fled. Otherwise, these places are not habitable by gentlemen or ladies. These places are hell. generally people don't, and then a sane person doesn't flee to hell. But we fled, our ancestors fled to hell, and here we are now. And even sometimes the Indians come to hell too. Because it's advertised so nicely. But India, they don't need all this, at least formerly when they were doing sacrifice, they didn't need all this heat. Because now they've made it hell in India too. Instead of Delhi, New Delhi, they made it New Heli. Because they put out all these factories there, contaminating the air, contaminating the water, and they've contaminated people's brains. Instead of hearing Bhagavad Gita, they're reading Time magazine. In any case, previously, people lived in a climate which was sane. They didn't have to work like a dog because they weren't interested in eating like a hog. Nor are they enamored with having sex like a pigeon and then afterwards sleeping like a bear. So therefore they could live a simple life. They didn't have to work so hard. But they were elevating their consciousness, so they were actually knew what the purpose of life is. But now we've created all these horrible and beneficial works meant to destroy the world, and we're taking so much pleasure in it that we're advanced and we're attached to it. And if someone tries to take the poison away from us, we protest. Why are you taking this poison away from me? I'm attached to it. I want it. So, here Devahuti has, Devayani has heard the philosophy from this story from King Ayati, and she was ready to hear it. Because after thousands of years, they realized that because they were practicing Krishna consciousness, it wasn't that suddenly one day they decided to read the Bhagavad Gita or attend a Bhagavatam class. They were practicing Krishna consciousness while they were engaged in at least their kind of regulated sense gratification. And therefore, at a certain time, they realized that Krishna consciousness, material happiness, has its limits, but Krishna consciousness, divine consciousness, is unlimited happiness. So therefore they gave up one thing for the superior. So it is not possible to get completely detached from sense gratification all at once. If we think we are, then we're in Maya. That's really dangerous. We think we're actually self-realized now. I'm detached from sense gratification. All we have to do is think that if I could have whatever sense gratification I wanted and I could get away with it, physically, mentally, and socially, would I actually take it? Would I take the opportunity? Or would I say, no, sorry, I just want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Hare Krishna. So real detachment is when in the face of allurement, when the opportunity is there, we're not attracted. So who here can say, I'm not attracted, I'm completely aloof? I'm self-realized. And if we think we're self-realized, that there's no hope for us. Then we won't try and make any progress because we think we're already there. Like one time, they asked Prabhupada, there was one Babaji. And his disciples gave him LSD. 10 times the amount that a normal person should take. So he took the LSD. You know what LSD is? What's that? Yeah, it's a drug. It's a hallucinogenic, like hashish or something. You dreaming that you're flying in the sky, whatever you dream. So he took 10 tabs of LSD. And his disciples said, how do you feel? Any change? He said, no, I'm still the same. So Prabhupada said, yes, he's still the same because he's still in hell. Nothing has changed. He's already in hell. So, in the face of some allurement, if we're not attracted, so that's self-realization. And if we imagine that we're not attracted, when we are attracted, it means that there's no hope for our making any advancement, because we think we're already there, but actually we're in hell. We're not in the spiritual world. Therefore, one should humbly try to understand that we have to regulate our sense gratification, eating, sleeping, bathing, defending, if we want to make spiritual progress, to get out of this entanglement. Otherwise, we're free to come here. Krishna is, we're not the only living entities in this world. There are 8,400,000 species of life that Krishna has given opportunities to different ways to gratify their senses. So if we're not convinced I should regulate my sense gratification, then we're invited to come back and enter into one of the 8,400,000 species. Gradually, we don't, from our position, we generally won't degrade ourselves all at once. It'll take a little while, a few births. And then we'll be back in New York, like I said the other day, eating rats. Now, most of, if we left the Hare Krishna movement right now, we wouldn't wind up eating rats. I hope not. Unless we were really hungry. Or grasshoppers. We don't degrade so quickly, but we'd go down. If we're not engaged in Krishna consciousness, material nature will pull us down, especially in Kali Yuga. The impetus is not to pull us up towards the mode of goodness, enlightenment. The social current, the social pressure is to go as far down as possible. It's not enough even nowadays to become a lesbian or a homosexual or transgender, is that what it is? Transgender. L is lesbian. G is what? What is the initials for that? LGB something. What's that? What does the G stand for? Gay, okay. Lesbian, gay, and what's the other one?
And lesbians, gays, bisexuals.
What is transsexual? You've transcended sex?
I have no idea.
Transsexual probably means you have sex with animals and things, anything that moves. Transsexual. L, G, B, T, and what's the other one?
Q.
I don't
know what that means, but queer.
And then there's plus now. There's an upgrade from those normal. So that's how far, you can go down that far and then you wind up in the lower species of life. That's all. It's just a gateway. They're just practicing. Pig probably gives the example of pig. He can have sex with anyone and anything. His mother, his sister, his daughter, maybe even his father, who knows? If he was part of the LGBTQ plus party. Anything's possible in the next lifetime. But that's not elevation, that's just punak punascharvata charvananam, just chewing the chewed. Therefore, one should try to seriously regulate the senses and at the same time try to focus the mind on Krishna so that one can actually experience ourselves and Krishna and everything as it really is and have a meaningful, happy life rather than a life full of anxiety and at the end, disaster. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? It's only when I ask for questions that you can actually hear the clock ticking. Everything becomes so quiet. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So if we are not ourselves able to control our mind and senses, how is it possible to help others?
It's not. We can't control our own minds. How are we going to help anyone? We can try to repeat. I mean, there's different degrees of sense and mind control. So we have enough control to follow the regular principles, chant Hare Krishna, then we can help someone. But if our minds are wandering everywhere in the universe, eventually our mind will take us out the door, wherever it's going to, that's where we're following it. The mind's not going to be happy chanting Hare Krishna if we're not trying to actually hear and with attention. We don't get any higher taste from it. Then our mind will offer us some of the other allurements. So how can we help anyone in that state? Someone needs to help us. If your hands and legs are bound by ropes, you can't free anyone else. Better work on getting free from the ropes first. Anything else? Kala Grantarashimad Bhagavatam Kijai.